You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Meet the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7, the choice of elite ballplayers like Michael Harris. Engineered for responsiveness and agility, this versatile option is built for speed demons who demand peak performance. With fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic mesh upper, experience unparalleled breathability, comfort, and a secure fit as you round the bases. The nitrogen-infused fuel cell midsole propels you forward with every step, ensuring you stay ahead of the game. Learn more and purchase the 4040 at newbalance.com.
It's Ken Barkley and Chris Ronji on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Ken and Tyler, you might still be live here in this Nebraska-Iowa game.
Well, give us an update. What do you got going on?
So it is 28-21. There is not a whole lot of time left. We're just over about a minute to go here. Iowa has scored 19 points in the fourth quarter. However, Nebraska has got the ball. They're coming back. They've still got a ways to go here. But they are at the, let's see, they're at the 35 right now, the 34, the Iowa 34, and they are still, well, they're driving here. So if they score, you get to overtime, they win in overtime, you'll be okay.
Love it. We'll see what happens. Given that it's Nebraska, whatever the most crushing, crippling way for them to lose the game is, that's what we will. That's what we will probably be presented with. And we were talking, Tyler and I were watching golf. We're watching Brooks Bryson, obviously. Brooks one up through four, I believe, is our score right now. So we are through one third of the 12-hole exhibition at the Wynn in Vegas. And I don't know. I'm already so out on this. I guess I should have bet a lot on it if I wanted to enjoy it. I'm just very out on this entire thing. And I'm also not listening to it. I'm sure they're trying to, I'm pretty sure Brooks is on the cart cam and just had a huge lip in and just like spit everything out. I'm pretty sure that actually just happened. Like on the cart cam. Tyler, are you watching this?
Out of the cooler. I don't know if that was a beer or not earlier.
Yeah. But, there's a lot. He's having there's a lot going on here. Foreign substance wise that probably, you know, this exhibition on the level, things probably needs a little bit of investigation. It's also in Vegas, so I wouldn't blame everyone for wanting to be under the influence while they're participating in this, but kind of maybe not the most opportune time to go to the card cam would probably be my thought there. Interesting.
How
anyway,
about
Brooks,
are
Brooks one up.
is a golfer allowed to put in a lip?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I never noticed it before.
I mean,
exhibition.
I say that not knowing what the rules are that govern.
That's what I want to know.
What the PGA rules are, but like, yeah. If you watch golf, it's like pretty obvious that there are probably a few guys,
sure,
a lot,
okay,
have something like that going. I don't know, and I know what a thing for a while was. I think Phil was the first one to do this. Everybody started chewing like the CBD oil gum.
Oh yeah,
because it was like gives you that like calming, like allows you to like play a little bit better. That was a thing. God, that was like 4 or 5 years ago. I think that was like a really big thing. I don't know if they ended up like cracking down on that or putting a rule. I have no idea. I don't know any of the golf rules. I just, my guess is that a lot of that stuff goes on. That'd be my guess.
I mean, it's a gentleman's sport. So you would think that, I don't know if gentlemen are allowed to dip, aren't they?
Right. Yes.
I guess
you can.
You
know, that's right.
Yeah. And I hate to break it to you. When I told you were live a little bit ago in Nebraska, Iowa.
Oh, now I'm dead.
Iowa picked it off at the one. So.
Oh, naturally. That's what a Nebraska way to lose this game.
Yeah. With less than a minute to go, this ball game is over. So
yeah, so that's
unless they
Iowa and the over, I guess, would come through in that situation, right? Because I think the total ended up bottoming out at like 41 or 40. Yeah, so over and Iowa. So they're at the 2-yard line with a minute. Does Nebraska have any timeouts left?
Nebraska has 2 timeouts, I believe. Yeah, they've got.
So
2.
Knowing Nebraska, this will be like it'll be like. Third down will be like a fumble play that they should recover and tie the game, and they won't, and then they'll somehow lose. It'll be like a safety, and they'll lose by 5. Something like that. That sounds good.
So they just called their second timeout. They got 1 left. They're down by 7 with 30 seconds to go. It's 2nd and 6 for Iowa. So
and it's worth noting for I'm looking at my scoreboard right now. I totally forgot that afternoon window, obviously, like off and running. We have a lot for people that listen to the show this week. We have a lot of bets going right now. So we actually just to update a few of those for people that, you know, I guess we have some devoted listeners of the show in today. Thank you very much, obviously, Black Friday. We have the under in Coastal Carolina and South Alabama, which is 10-0 and almost halftime. That's great. We have the under in Colorado and Utah, which is 3-0 at the end of the first quarter. That's great. We have TCU at a big number against Iowa State. That actually just started about 20 minutes ago. Iowa State up 3-0, but very early in the game. So nothing to kind of get really excited about there. But finally, kind of off and running with a lot of the bets in a lot of the other games. So that's great. And we gave an update earlier that Cincinnati was losing to East Carolina. They have scored.
Not anymore.
So it's it is in the second quarter, and Cincinnati leads 7-3, obviously, as they keep trying to get that undefeated season and seeing if the committee can invent a way to screw them and give the playoff spot to somebody else.
Yeah. Did you take them at 14 or 14 and a half?
Cincinnati. Or East Carolina, yeah. Rather. I did not bet the Cincinnati game.
Okay.
I am just I am a person who is still skeptical that if presented with any other reasonable option, the committee won't go in that direction.
Oh, screw them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In favor of, if, I mean, it's, there's a way this can play out where they just have no choice. Like, they have to put Cincinnati in. It would like appear like they got a bag of money otherwise, which they kind of do anyway. But like, you know what I mean? Like, it would look like it would look like a heist if they put some of these teams in. Like, if they end up putting the Pac-12 champ in, for example, that would be perhaps a bridge too far. Like, that would be tough now that, especially like depending on who it is too, it could still be Oregon State in that game. But if it's the Big 12 champ with one loss, it's winner of Bedlam who then wins the Big 12. Like, I think they're putting 12-1 Oklahoma in instead of Cincinnati.
Of course,
sorry,
they
everybody.
Are.
Like, I think they're doing that. Yeah, but I mean, that's just, you know, people are just going to get mad when it happens. And I'm just telling you, like, probably going to happen. I mean,
they want a blue blood.
The reason Oklahoma's ranked really low right now is because they haven't played anybody. Their next two games will be against, they're basically their two toughest strength of schedule games the entire year, except for Baylor. And if they win both, the committee can say that they hadn't played anybody. Then they started playing teams and then they beat them. And I mean, this is a committee that, you know, TCU basically, you know, entered that final week, the first year of the playoff, ranked number 3, won, and was immediately number 5. So if you think they can't do it, like, crazier things have happened. Let's put it that way. And just, you know, would Cincinnati be fun in the playoff just as a change of pace? Sure, the playoff games are terrible normally. Who cares who plays in the playoff game? Like Georgia's the best team. There's a couple other teams that can give them a game. Neither of them will be in the semifinal. So, like, neat, you know? But just, do I think if Oklahoma won out, they'd go in? Yeah. Yeah, I think if Oklahoma won out, they'd go in.
The Iowa game is final. They win over Nebraska 28-21. Back to pencil, pen, blood, or blank. Ken Barkley, and we got a couple of games left to go here. Cowboys, as of right now, and this is for a future game, this is for next week, not this week, the Cowboys take on
actually,
the Saints.
It's a Thursday night game again this week. Yeah.
Yep, Thursday night game. They will take on the Saints in New Orleans. Dallas is a 5-point favorite. The over-under is 48, and I guess we don't know yet who the starting quarterback for New Orleans is going to be. I assume it's Simeon, but it could be Taysom Hill. They're already calling for him to start again. So I think I want to wait on that. At this point, I don't really have a play on it. I think I'm a blank.
A couple things worth considering in where this number is going to open. I think it'll probably open about with that. So my number in the game, Simeon, is 4.5. I think that a couple things that are interesting here are, one, what you just mentioned, where if it turns out that, like, even if we're getting an idea that Taysom Hill is going to play a lot of snaps next week, does that generate some buzz to bet the Saints down even a little bit? Like, if it opens 5.5 or 5 and we end up getting like 4 or 3.5, Dallas has certainly played poorly enough that people probably wouldn't mind doing that if we thought they were going to get better Saints quarterback play. I don't think, you know, around those numbers, I would have any bets in this game. The total would then become a little interesting if that was the case. But and with Dallas, especially, CeeDee Lamb going to come back from the concussion. I think Amari Cooper is eligible to come off the COVID list to play in this game. Although it's weird, like, what a bad time to go on the COVID list when you got Sunday, Thursday, 3 straight games for Dallas. That's like such a bad spot to, like, the worst schedule spot imaginable to miss. I think Cooper is eligible to play in the game, but Cowboys wide receivers would be another note here of, like, maybe we open in this range, but then the Saints could take money again in that type of situation if it's, well, Lamb, he's just like not ready to play. Sounded like it was pretty close yesterday and he didn't play. And then Cooper, is he eligible to come off the list? I believe he is. So, you know, two things worth considering there. You could get a better Cowboys performance, obviously, full strength offense in a high scoring dome environment too. And that's my next point would be, if all those guys come back, My total in the game is 49, between 49 and 49 and a half. Total looks a little low to me if off these teams' kind of recent efforts, because like these aren't the teams that we're going to see a week from today. Like, you, first of all, you get a weird full week of practice out of it, not a conventional one, but you get the full 7 days between. Saints quarterback play and Cowboys wide receivers actually gets a little better. And I know there's some news floating around about Zeke too, that Pollard might end up getting way more carries because Zeke's kind of like dealing with an injury, I believe was the reporting. Great net positive Dallas. And that's, I mean, honestly, in that situation, like Pollard's just so much better. So, my first thought would be maybe over in the game, honestly. This strikes me as a game that could land like 49 or 50 at close. And I think we're going to see something like more than a field goal for Dallas. So my number's 4.5. I think that makes a lot of sense.
I am right there with you. Let's see if we can get through this Patriots-Bills game.
Yeah, it's the best game. We saved the best for last, as it turns out. Yeah, Monday night.
Right. Yeah, Bills looked really good yesterday, obviously. New England has been playing really well, obviously. Two teams going at it. Buffalo at home, a 3.5-point favorite. And the early over-under is 46 here.
Yeah, my total ended up a little higher than this, but not by a lot. I'm 47. My number is Bills by 3, so I'll be curious what happens. Got a couple of dynamics in play. So one is going to be obviously the condition that the Patriots exit the Tennessee game in on Sunday. Patriots, I think, are for people who are kind of, you know, beating the drum for them to be this amazing Super Bowl contending team. One thing that has happened, which has gone under the radar because they played so well during it, is they're dealing with a lot of injuries to like actually very key members of the team. And like, you know, a lot of guys, and I know the Patriots are very weird with the injury report, list 25 guys questionable and then they all play. But a couple more defensive injuries than people might kind of be aware of. It's not the healthiest version of a team, even though they're playing so much better than they played earlier. So it'll be really interesting. Like, if they put a big number on Tennessee, and that'll obviously be what, 6 straight wins or something like that. And obviously like a month straight of just like really, really, really top level play. We got the Patriots results here real quick. So that'll be 6 straight wins. And the only loss in that period of time would be then it's the Dallas overtime loss. It's like basically their last loss, which is obviously like a game where they performed really well, man. Like, does that number hold at more than a field goal if the Patriots put a big number on Tennessee off that game? Like, you could have two teams sort of careening into that game, playing at by far their highest possible level. You know, the Bills finally seeming to kind of figure it out a little bit these last couple of weeks, and obviously the Patriots will have won 6 straight. So maybe the Tennessee game, the condition of New England, dictates whether we see more than a field goal or maybe exactly a field goal at open. I think 3 is probably going to end up being the right number in that game. What would I bet if it was 3? What would you bet? Buffalo minus 3 next Monday night. Let's say the Patriots have all the same guys they normally do. Would you have a lean in that game?
I do like the Bills to cover. If it's a 3, I like them to cover, especially being at home. I feel pretty, I don't know. It's one of those that makes me nervous. So I'm sort of penciling in this one.
Sure.
I'm not all hardcore on this game as of right now. I do want to see how things end up with New England after this week.
I think this could be like a whatever side of the 3 we get. I might just be slightly interested in betting that side off the game, but that would be about it. An opener of 3 would make a lot of sense to me.
We'll get back to NFL a little bit later on in You Better You Bet, but coming up next, Colin Wilson will join us to talk college football here on BetQL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.